Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of 14 of the special editions of the MFC podcast. Tonight I'm joined by an ex-Motherwell player that scored winning goals against both Celtic and Rangers during his time at Fir Park. Kevin Twaddle, thank you very much for joining me. It's going to be a pleasure, I'm sure.
No problems whatsoever. Fairly looking forward to it.
Well, there's not any football to kind of discuss in recent times anyway, but there's still plenty going on, isn't there? We've had you on and talked about your career at Motherwell, and we'll certainly discuss that during the podcast tonight. But the situation as it is, we're at Wednesday, 9:30 in the evening. Since I recorded on Monday and we talked about the vote, there's been plenty of changes. Tonight, Dundee have went the full 360. They have voted yes to the reconstruction and the proposal to end the season. It looks, for all the world, that it will be the case that Hearts are relegated to the Championship. Partick Thistle will drop down to League One as well. There's so much going on, Kevin. There's now talk about Anne Budge, who I'm sure will be completely impartial in everything, and Les Gray heading up a consortium to lead league reconstruction and fast-track it through for next season. It's madness and madness to a different level in Scottish football, which is normally quite mad to begin with.
Listen, it's a situation that will hopefully never in my lifetime, hopefully never in anybody's lifetime, to be fair, it'll happen again. So listen, it's a no-win situation no matter what they do. I think the Premier League would be won with Celtic anyway, so to be fair, I could see why mad Rangers fans would think that, but realistically, Celtic have got to keep winning the league and keep winning the league. So they've won the league now. And the hard part is obviously you've got Hearts who are the bottom of the league, but they've still got an opportunity to catch other teams. It's no so clear cut at the bottom as what it is at the top. It's the same for your Celtic Hearts and for your Bonnyriggs. And like Brechin not getting relegated, I don't think they can't even win whatever they do, to be honest with you. And people will have masses of different views on it. And at the end of the day, whatever they do, they're not going to be right, probably. So it is. It's just, listen, it's a situation in life now. Never mind in football and life. It's it's very crazy, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think it's always important when we're talking about football and in circumstances like this. It's so far away from being the most important thing that's going on, but of course, it is an important thing in many of our lives, and this is such an unprecedented situation, isn't it? You've got all the big wigs around the table debating what happens. We don't know when football could realistically start again. I know they've said August they hope to get back to it, whether that be finishing the back end of the Premiership season, which doesn't look likely now, or beginning a new season. I can't see like tonight's part being a final point or a full stop in it, because there's, as you said, so much anger regarding the decision. When people don't get their way, that tends to be the case. People get quite upset, especially you look at Partick Thistle. They've got a game in hand at the bottom of the Championship. They're 2 points behind. They win that game in hand, they're obviously no longer bottom, so they wouldn't automatically get relegated. For me, that's not particularly fair.
No, I totally agree with that, to be honest with you. But as I said, you could go through every league and see a different scenario in every league. And I'm sure people would have a different scenario. It's funny because people sit and talk about football and listen, it's been life and death for me when I used to go and watch Hearts when I was a kid. I went and followed them all in the world and football was life and death. And then you obviously go and play football and it becomes a job and it is your life and death, your bread and butter, obviously, playing it. It's not until really you actually come out and you go into the real world. And I was sitting talking to a neighbour just when I come back a wee run there, and I was sitting talking to him and was saying that he was telling me about the situation because I hadn't heard. I knew it was kind of going to happen, but what Dundee were going to do. But and it is, listen, there's that many travesties happening in the world now. It's not until you actually come out of football and you kind of realise. But I have been there, so I'm not going there preaching that football's not the be-all and end-all, because for me at one point it was. But listen, you're listening to nurseries dying nowadays, and I mean, wee bairns getting born, and it's just, life is, the now for me, I'm actually looking at all the football stuff and actually laughing. It's quite laughable because, I mean, it isn't a life, and now at the end of the day, there is other things going on. But I do understand that for people, it is people's life, and I have been there, so it's, there's a lot of things that are going to be unfair, and as you said, you're going to see a lot of people's true colours now. Your Ann Budgies, your people who are going to draw up loads of stuff, and it'll all be done being drawn through anger as well, and yeah, whether they're right, whether they're wrong, I mean, they're going to have opinions and try settle things in ways that think's fair. But what is fair? I mean, what is fair? Let's be honest, it's a difficult situation. The only thing for me that's fair is Celtic won the league and nobody's got to catch them. That's the, for me, is there's no other kind of, and you've got your Cove Rangers who are obviously way ahead in the other division as well. So, but apart from that, there's other leagues that are still got things kind of to play for. But yeah, but I mean, what do they do? Does this last? You didn't know how long it's going to last. How they're talking about maybe in Germany about games being finished closed doors. When have we got to get back to normal? When are you going to be able to think you've got to be played closed doors? I mean, they have to kind of make a decision. Stand by it. Let's move on and take it for there. But you all have Mad Hearts fans who think that they're getting the most hard-dirty thing ever happened to them. For me, probably it's the best thing that probably could happen to them, because they'll get an opportunity to get structured as a club again. And I do think they've got a boy who will definitely bring the best out in the boys and the best out in the club. He's kind of proved that. The fans love him. I think give him a wee bit of time and a wee bit, you maybe give Hearts the, and maybe give the fans a wee bit of appreciation for, because the times at Hearts now are just brutal. So let's say maybe, don't know, maybe like me saying that, but maybe it'd be the best thing that could ever happen to him, to be fair.
I was going to ask you that. You obviously played with Hearts as well. You've got an affinity to the club. I think it's quite interesting that at the start of the year, maybe February, March time, there was quite a lot of Hearts fans saying, oh, we deserve to go down. We've been the worst team in the league. And now we get to this point in April where it looks like they are going to be relegated. And they're not very happy about
it at all. Nah, that's what I'm saying. You can't win, Andy. You can't win. It's the case is going to be that people are going to moan no matter what happens. You're going to please some people. You're not going to please others. Hearts fans, I have to say, are the most fickle fans I've ever heard in my life, to be fair.
I think
so,
that's just football fans, to be honest.
I've been lucky enough to be in a few clubs where I know what fans can be like, and I know you're not going to please everybody, and I know that you didn't get... I mean, I've watched Hearts, I was a supporter, I watched them all in the world. The amount of times that I just turn round to somebody and say, you might be supporting the boys, do you think that's going to bring the best in people? And sit and argue with people about, I'm one for... And listen, you do get frustrated at the football, and you do have your favourites, and you do have your... But do you think when you're shouting at somebody, you're going to bring the best out of them? Or you're... Listen, as you said, a lot of fans are fickle. But Tynecastle, geez, Hearts fans are the most fickle fans that I've experienced anyway, for sure.
Yeah, it's been a very confusing situation. I'm reading a quote from Chris Sutton that's accusing Dundee of playing God in recent days. there's been loads of weird and wonderful takes on it. As it stands, it looks like now there'll be negotiations between the Scottish Premiership and UEFA, I believe, to conclude the Premiership season. And then it will be the case that we go as planned, it looks like. But there's also on the table reconstruction proposals, which could see a 16-team league. It could maybe it is the case that Dundee have learned that should the league construction go through, then maybe they'll be a top-flight club next season. It looks like there's a few clubs that might actually benefit from this, despite the fact that not being deserved in the slightest. Dundee have been really, really poor this season and could end up getting promoted on the back of it. So very interesting times, very confusing times. And I dare say that in the next 10 podcasts, I'll be talking about this on a nightly basis.
I think the thing is as well, you'll have boys at clubs who are, I mean, people just expect football players to have, didn't get it wrong, it's a great lifestyle, it's good money, there's a lot of good things about it, but there's a lot of boys who aren't on a lot of good money, boys that are, that really need their money for, and boys that aren't getting paid now as well. I mean, they have mortgages, you live a lifestyle that I couldn't even imagine, especially when I was gambling my brains out. I couldn't believe it's something that took my money off, to be fair, but there's so many things happening now that are, as you said, if you ever put it through. And but I mean, if it did come a case that there was going to be a bigger league and Dundee got promoted to it, I mean, that would make the biggest mockery probably at the whole lot of it, because let's be honest, they wouldn't have deserved to be in a top flight, to be fair. But I do like James McPaik. I got on really well with him as a person as well. He's a lovely lad, really, really nice lad. Spent a lot of time with him as well. So for him, yeah, it would be good. But I mean, come on, realistically. And I mean, for that ought to be done kind of not really professionally, and maybe that to happen would just be, geez, that would be, but it wouldn't surprise me, to be fair. We'll see. That'll all play out. As you said, you'll keep talking about it and keep talking about it, and you'll have so many different opinions and views, and you're never going to please anybody with whatever comes out, probably. So we'll see.
I know that at the time when you were playing, this wouldn't be prevalent, but there's a lot of talk of these WhatsApp groups and such like, of people keeping in contact, particularly the talk about all the chief execs at the championship clubs being involved in a WhatsApp group just seemed totally bizarre to me. But could you see them co-conspiring behind the scenes and kind of individual chats and between certain individuals going on here? It's easy to get involved in conspiracy theories, but for Dundee to have said that they had lodged a no vote and not to be received by the league, which doesn't really add up, to be fair, does it? And then to go the full 360 at the end of the day or 4 days later, there's just something not ringing true about it. It stinks.
I think, as you said, it's maybe a Scottish thing. I think with the money that goes about in the English kind of leagues, Championship, Premiership, I don't think that could kind of happen. But in Scottish football, anything can happen. Eh? It's, as you said, I mean, if this, you never know. They could all be sitting WhatsApped in a group. It's technology nowadays where people didn't need to know that. It would just make a mockery of football. I would think that if Dundee came out on the great side of this, it just wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right. But as I said before, it'll all play out in its own way, and we will see. I'm sure the boys will be, especially like players as well, contracts. I mean, how do we get back to the world of 11 again? Eh? It's just boys out of contract soon, no knowing what's happening. Boys not getting wages now. When they got to start getting paid again? So there may come a point where you maybe get a wee revolt with boys as well that are not happy with it. Either willing to say right now, well, you know what, we'll try to help out a wee bit and that, whatever. But that won't last long either, because boys want their wages. Eh? Whether they're football players or no, they'll want their wages too. They want their money. So, and rightly so, they work bloody hard for it. And I know, obviously, people see a different side of football players, and but it's sort of like anybody else. They work hard, they train hard, and they deserve their wages as well. So,
yeah,
it's a bit mental.
That's a very interesting point, actually. You're coming to the point where the season would be generally wrapping up, say the end of May, the start of June. Contracts are up for renegotiation. Should it be the case that we've not actually got a date to start the next season? Do teams hold off in signing anybody? Is there going to be players kind of almost put out to roost almost, because they're not going to be able? Why would you sign a player to sit about for 2 months if the season's not going to start until potentially October, November time?
Let's be honest, where have they got to get the money? That's the thing as well. I mean,
exactly. If I had no walk-ups or no punters through the door, no hospitality money or anything like that.
Every club spends way beyond their means as well. So they never ever think a situation like this is going to happen. Nobody did. But I mean, as you said, where are you able to pay people's wages when you're wanting to sign somebody? There'll be name people paying. I mean, you're different in England and stuff like that. I would think bigger clubs, but you'll not get teams here who are going to shell out loads of money for buying players now, because they're going to have no money. Maybe I don't know how financially thing with Celtic Rangers and not much Rangers, but Celtic and things are. But I mean, where are clubs like your Hearts, like your Hibs? They all made a big point about it when Ambridge came out first and said that the boys were going to get a wages cut. All the Hibs fans, everybody, were all laughing. They were like, oh, imagine that happened to a club. And they're all doing it. And let's be honest, I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed that clubs in the third division, second division, even the first division, I'm really surprised they're surviving. As clubs, I don't know how they're surviving, because these clubs need everything that they get. Like your clubs, like your Arbroaths, your Breakins, your... I just can't understand how they're surviving, to be fair. And there must be a few clubs that are really, really toiling, to be honest. So it's a shame, as you said. I don't know, buying players, selling players, when does the season start, when the season's going to end? What do you do with boys that are out of contract coming up now? There's boys got to be out of contract come up the next 6 weeks. There's boys got to be out of contract. What you got to do, what's going to happen with they boys? What are they thinking about what's going to happen for next season? What are they doing with thinking about what's going on? And because you're not hearing right now, well, listen, you're hearing a couple of players, to be fair. I've seen a couple of the last couple of days where people are signing for an extension, maybe for only another couple of years of their contract. But I mean, it's an unprecedented time in football that there'll be a lot of things that will have to change, because financially clubs are, especially clubs like, I mean, you like your Hearts and Hibs and things. I mean, for Hearts to be in the kind of state that they're in now is just, it might be that you might have another case where you'll have a lot of younger kids getting the opportunities to showcase their talents, because clubs didn't have obviously the money to. And it's like for any business, for any in society, when we come back into working again, how long is it going to take for every company, companies all over the world, football, joiners, painters, builders, whatever it may be, government, how long is it going to be before we're back to normal again? It's going to take a long, long time. So, it'll play out. As I said, you're going to get a million different opinions. But for me, Celtic League champions, Jambos, First Division.
Yeah, it's certainly a big story, and it's one that's going to go on for quite some time to come. A story that emerged this morning, and I don't really know how much substance is in it, but Motherwell goalkeeper Mark Gillespie looks like he might be on his way to Newcastle United. So we're talking about the fact that players may be coming to the end of their contracts. Mark Gillespie is one of those. Looks likely, it seems, it's in the Scottish papers and in the papers down south, that the Gillespie has been eyed up by Steve Bruce as an understudy at St James's Park. God, that would be a massive move for a goalkeeper that's been absolutely superb this season. As far as I'm concerned, he's right up there with the best in the league. You've got Fraser Foster and then Alan McGregor, and I would say that Mark Gillespie on his day is every bit as good a shot stopper, certainly. Has won Motherwell points on his own at times with a number of great saves. He's certainly earned his place as number one in front of Trevor Carson, and now it looks like he may be rewarded even further with a move down south, and you would imagine that'd be a big money move at that.
He's obviously a fantastic goalie, because the boy Trevor Carson's a really good goalie, a really good and a big personality at the club as well. So for someone else to come in and do as well as what he's done is, listen, right now, I mean, if you were in a football player's shoes and you were a footballer and there were things like this were getting thrown at you, or your agent was saying to you, listen, you've got a chance. And unfortunately nowadays, you always, especially where we are now, you'd be desperate just to make sure you had financial stability. And I mean, if that's going to be the case, the one thing I would say is, so I'd never ever believe the papers. Never. It doesn't matter whether it's down south or it's up here, and it's all in every single paper. I would, right now, I probably wouldn't believe nothing, to be honest with you, because I think as a club, I think Newcastle are obviously gone through a transition as well, whether it goes through that the boy will. But listen, it's if the boy's coming out of contract, there's obviously got to be big clubs that are willing to, and Newcastle are a huge club. But it'll play out whether you're going to get stories now that are going to really get, can it could be his agent that's putting all this stuff in the paper, or you never ever know. He didn't get it wrong, very, very talented goalie. And as you said, he's saved Motherwell and gave Motherwell points that they probably wouldn't have had without him this season. So he'll be, I don't know whether the club have maybe offered him a new deal or whether, but when clubs come calling like that, then there's only ever going to be one winner. They'll be gone. And it's the way it is. You try better your career, and it's like the situations where people laugh and go, why would you go to Newcastle and be a second choice goalie when you can play at Motherwell every week? Well, let's be honest, about 5, 6, 10 times your wages, and you're obviously going to a club that's just, everything becomes, obviously, as a player, it'll probably be the dream for the boy, eh? And if he's done well and he's deserved it, which he obviously has, then, as I said, now I would think there'll be loads of stories coming out now about people who are gone places, and whether it comes out or no. The one thing I've learned from being a footballer is never, ever believe the papers. I mean, I was linked to clubs that had no chance of getting a goalie. No chance. So,
what was the best one?
Oh, if I got linked after about, I went from being a painter, and I was playing at Bonnerig. We were playing against Bonnerig with Dunbar. I went to, on the Wednesday night, I went and played in a trial game for St Johnston against Dunfermline. Signed, played on a Saturday for St Johnston. I only played 30 minutes or something. And then I played against St Mirren the next day, game week, made my debut, my actual full debut, and I started. And after the game against St Mirren, I was getting linked with Everton. That's his quality, by the way. For Dunbar, 2 weeks later, I'm going to Everton. That's just madness. But I was linked with, I mean, Sheffield United was linked with me right through my whole career. And to be fair, I got the opportunities when I left Motherwell to go down there and sign down there. But I was just absolutely, I was a spent force by that time. My brains were well washed out, and I signed with Hearts. Just stupidity. But aye, it is what it is. But I have this, I mean, your agent's on the phone every day saying, listen, I'll put a wee bit in, saying, because you're doing well now, I'll put a wee bit in saying that there's big interest for you. And you get so many people going, wow, that's incredible, can I boost them well? And a lot of rubbish. So, a lot of these, you kind of got to drum up a lot of agents' data as well. They drum up a lot of, but I 2 weeks I was going to Everton, that was for Dunbar. So, it's quite a jump.
It's certainly not a well-trodden path, that one, but... So shame
I wasn't far away. I ended up at Wraith.
Aye, close enough. Right. They both wore blue.
That's true.
I'm going to do something a wee bit different. We've been talking before we started about just kind of the effect of the difference in routine, and doing these 14 podcasts and 14 days for the Scottish Association for Mental Health, try to drum up a bit of support, raise a couple of quid, and basically it, I've said so many times in the last couple of weeks, this is a lovely escape for me as well, getting to talk to people that I respect and I've so much time for. And it's great for people to listen to and just pass the time, essentially. We're all in the same boat here. We've all got a lot more spare time than we did have before. The vast majority of us do. Of course, there's people still out there doing magnificent things, and full credit to them, because really are keeping this world going just now. But for the rest of us, our daily routine have changed so greatly. It's a challenging time. And I spoke to you around about the summer last year when I was doing a bit for Nutmeg on the effect of gambling in Scottish football. And I think it raised a few eyebrows in terms of what I was suggesting and what I'd found kind of on my journey through it. Me and you, I've discussed the perils of gambling so many times in the past. You have disclosed warts and all, really, in terms of your book and your battle with the gambling, which continues to this day. And again, massive, massive amounts of respect that you've managed to abstain. You've managed to really turn your life around and help so many people through your own harrowing and incredibly difficult experience. I can only imagine how difficult it has been for you at times to disclose that and have it all out there. certainly you've never been someone to hide from the truth. And as I say, I've got the utmost respect for that. These are times that I found it quite frustrating as someone that has had problems myself with it. Looking at live computer games available for betting and seeing people on social media posting up screenshots of betting slips. There's people turning to foreign leagues and virtual Grand National things. Of course, the gambling industry is that. It's a money-making industry, and the world keeps on turning. They've got to keep on trying to generate income. But for me, I feel like it is almost kind of trying to take advantage of people's boredom during this time. And really, there'll be people that are vulnerable at the moment, whether they suffer from addictions, from mental health issues. I think that this will all be exacerbated at this moment in time and heightened due to the current climate. It's a dangerous time, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I take my hat off to, as I said, I was talking to you earlier about you're reading the night that a nurse dies and she was pregnant and they save the baby. And I mean, life now is just, it's unprecedented times. Mentally, for a lot of people, it's a struggle. I've realised, obviously, through my gambling career that I've had so many ups, I've had so many downs, it's drove me to trying to commit suicide. So this is probably the quietest I've ever heard with gambling now, to be honest with you. I feel that gambling's kind of gone now. I know obviously you can go online and you can play your poker or do your things that kind of I've never really done anyway. I was a massive football kind of betting on football and, well, whatever I got to bet on, but I was never really one for kind of online. But I mean, life is about, for these kind of companies, it is about preying on the vulnerable, and everybody's going to find it hard in regards to mental health. I take my hat off to, it's kind of inspiring. I listen to a few people who, I mean, I've got a friend on Twitter as well who's became a friend, a boy, Aaron Conley, who's, I mean, I take so much strength and courage for him as well. He's a year for trying to commit suicide. Wee boy, beautiful girl, wife, and just, you know what? This is a time you learn a wee bit about yourself as well. This is a time where, and I've learned so much about myself over the last 4 weeks. I've kind of tried to take the positive every day that I'm getting the day reward and things. My wee girl that I would never have got the chance, and the bond and that growth and is just the most wonderful thing in the world. It's a love that I never ever thought I would ever have. She's just the most incredible girl in the world. So I feel loads of gratitude, and I do try to take the positivities out of the day, because if I didn't, the day will drag me down. Your mind is the most powerful tool ever. You'll know yourself that it can take you to places that you never ever thought. And listen, I've been at these stages when I'm at Motherwell as well. I went to see the club doctor as well, suffering from panic attacks. And that's things that I've never ever been brought up before, and I've never really ever wanted to say before. Know that it's a stigma, but it's something that I didn't really want to ever, because it was nothing to be proud of. But you know what? Having that courage to be able to speak, to put yourself out there and to share your strength and courage and let people know that they're, is people there to, I mean, I've kind of lost touch with a lot of people over, life goes on, I just hope that when life does get back to normal again, I can keep doing the things I've done, back out running, I'm doing things I would never have done, I mean, I would never go running, I'm the laziest boy on the planet, so I've not spoke to boys who kind of, that I've played football with for a long time, and I've kind of lost touch, and I've not really been, yet over the last 4 weeks, I speak to them near enough every day, so for me, it's all about learning, and it's all about, probably mental health is the most, it's the best position it's ever been in life as a society, but in football as well, and in sport, where it's brave and courageous to open up and say, you know what, I'm really struggling now, I need a wee bit of help, I need just someone to talk to, or you could never have, back in the day, man, if you'd done that, you'd have been absolutely crucified, you wouldn't have had a, and it kind of just would have been laughed off. Nowadays, listen, if you want that help and you want that support, it is there in abundance. There is so many people willing to, me being one of them, that would pick up the phone to anybody. I want to know that everybody, I can't save the world, but I want to know that, especially people with families, and you want them to be all right. Hey, it's, this is such a difficult, difficult time. And it will be, by the way, it'll be causing things that people never get to see. It'll be causing friction in households and stuff like that, footballers' households, because there's no wages coming in, there's bills to be paid, there's families are finding it a wee bit difficult to cope. And people just think because you play football, you live in this fantasy world that, and believe me, now there'll be a lot of families there that are struggling. There'll be a few boys mentally struggling a wee bit. They're used to being in the routine of training every day, and life's good, and life's, but you know what, there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help and listen. And as a society, you know what, it's like God has actually gave us a wee rude awakening, because you know what, society nowadays is pretty brutal. Rapings, terrorists, all these things that go on, and I sound like a drama queen, but you know what, it's not a great world we live in, let's be honest. I mean, it's not a great world we live in, and you know what, maybe it's been thrown down that, you know what, maybe there should be a wee bit of appreciation for a life that I certainly have got anyway, for sure. I've got the greatest life in the world, and as I said today, I'm fully gratitude to mourn. I could be in a bad place and want to speak to you or speak to somebody that I need, but the day's a good day, and I've got lots to be appreciative for. So, but yeah, mental health, your mind is the most powerful, and it can take you to places you never ever think it can take you to be honest.
No, I think that's just absolutely hit the nail on the head there. I think it has been a series of a couple of good days and then that more difficult days. The days are long. They're normally long days because you're so busy and you're just physically exhausted by the end of it. It's just so different just now. And saying that, you were talking before we came on, and I'm sure you won't mind me saying that you had a serving of chili for about four people and then decided you were going to do a 5k run.
For the caravan.
But so you'll be exhausted anyway. You'll sleep like a baby tonight. But
it's amazing. I've been out, as I said, doing runs for the last, I've been trying to do it every couple of nights. My missus's been out doing running as well. Bless her, she's doing amazing. But by the way, you try to take a 4 year old for 8 hours during the day and play with it in the back garden. Seriously, you're knackered, but you have to go out and run because you're absolutely frazzled. she's got so many crazy ideas. She's a lot like what her dad used to be fair, which isn't great.
so have you got the kind of Townsley and Twaddle set up in the back garden?
Oh, listen, I've got the mannequins. I've got the two biggest mannequins that I could ever find, Derek Townsley, Kevin Twaddle. I've got them playing. One's at the back door and the other one's at the fence. I've got Billy Davis over in the corner shouting, fucking useless. So, it's all set up. And by the way, the funniest part about it is totally and utterly all left-sided. Left-handed, left-footed. I mean, there's nobody in my family, me especially, and then my missus, if I'm nobody left-sided. So, she loves her wee football as well. She likes just like kicking the ball in the goals and stuff like that. And you know what? She's at an age now where it's really touching. The things that you never would have appreciated in life. My mum and dad having scrapbooks and became my wife doing a DVD. I'm saying all my goals and it lasts about 10 seconds there. But, and just things that she sees now, like kind of bits where you do your wee bits on the telly for gambling, and I wish that was for football skills and that, but it's mostly on the telly for gambling all the time. But it's nice that she sees that, you know what, that she understands that obviously her dad used to be a footballer, so it's nice, and it's nice that she can have the memories, and hopefully she'll get a lot more memories as she's getting bigger. But she's, as I said, she's just one of my wee ones. I just idolise the lassie. She's and her name's Hope. You know, I mean, for all the, I got a tattoo of Hope on my arm when I first walked into GA 2005, and I go on and have a wee burn. 11 years later, my wee girl's called Hope. Hey, it's tattoos all over my hanging with Hope, but it's just life is I'm maybe meant to be where I'm the day and doing the things I'm doing, and I am very grateful.
That's you've nearly got me there, so give me 2 seconds, we'll get back. Oof, Jesus. Right, right, back on it. Right, football. Aye. We've not mentioned much about your time at Motherwell because we have covered them in previous podcasts and nights that you've attended for the podcast. But it was nice speaking to Lee McCulloch the other week, and we were talking about the night at Celtic Park, and I think it took him a wee while to kind of get his head around how long ago it was since that night, but he remembered every detail, and despite the fact that
not as much as me, doesn't he, let me tell you.
But the thing is, that's what I was going to mention, though, that the fact that someone that went on and played all these times for Scotland and won Scottish League championships and things like that, to still remember it. And what really struck me about Lee was how much he loved his time at Motherwell and still had such an affection for the club. I actually commented in that I think when players go to either one of the old firm, they maybe just get taken as, oh, well, he's that guy that went to Rangers or he's that guy that went to Celtic. But the affinity that Lee had, being a local boy and signing for the club just up the road, yes, his dad took him to see Rangers when he was younger, but he certainly has an affection for Motherwell. And that night, the highlights, I think, were uploaded to the SPFL Twitter quite recently, and Celtic absolutely battered this. But that doesn't really matter, though, does it? Because you had that moment, and you managed to silence a packed Celtic Park against a very high calibre Celtic team as well.
I have to say, Lee McCulloch was... he was, you know what, he was a genuinely, genuinely lovely... You know, for a young boy as well, he was way beyond his years. You would never have thought he had no airs and graces about him. He didn't think he was better than anybody else. And I've never ever... Well, spoke briefly and stuff like that, but what an absolute legendary boy, by the way. He was... me, him and Jed Brannan were kind of stuck together. We used to go out as the mad threesome. And I just used to hang off the two of them, to be fair. But Jiggs, good player as well. A lot of people, he's played every position for Motherwell. I can remember it came Billy saying to him, listen, this is where you're playing today. And the boys are like, Jesus God, he's playing centre half. Well, he could play pretty, obviously scoring goals and maybe even playing as a number 10 and stuff like that. He was a quality boy, by the way, quality teammate. He absolutely doted on his family as well, which I loved for a young boy. I mean, I was well in the throes of gambling, and I mean, I loved my family, but he was genuinely, genuinely Motherwell boy. The pride that he took playing. And as you said, you go to bigger clubs, and you do go to bigger clubs, and it makes you realise. And I always talk about, listen, my affection will never be with Hearts. I've watched Hearts around the world. My affections will 100% be with Motherwell. I'll never forget my time. When I talk to my bairn, I didn't talk about Hearts. Didn't get it wrong, I loved my time in all my clubs. The only time I never enjoyed my time was at Hearts. So I never had a great time. I wasn't in a great place in my life. I needed the support and stuff that you're getting now, which wasn't there. But I didn't want it anyway, so I'm not using that as an excuse. My time at Motherwell was, it's the greatest time in my life that I'll never ever forget. And not just for like scoring goals, or I just loved the people. I loved the people. It made me feel at a place where it came from the kit man, Alan and his brother, to into the office with Betty, to go into the cleaners, Bob, and it went right through the club. And people who get the opportunities to be at clubs like that, you kind of didn't appreciate it at the end of the day. You're playing football, your life flashes by you, and Paul Cherry always used to say to me when I was younger, Ken, you're an arsehole, look at you, you're never going to listen, get yourself in pensions and ISAs. And I used to think to myself, I can hardly pay petrol money, man. You're wanting, mate, just, you never appreciate things, people trying to help you, and just as life, football life flies by. And it's all right saying when it's done, I maybe would have done something different, or I wouldn't have changed nothing. But I tell you what, my best times, and I'll never forget, the boys as well. Never forget the boys was at Motherwell. The people at the club, there was just so much, and Billy Davis summed up all that. He was in it for everybody. It's who he is, it's what he's all about. I had his flaws or whatever people, I've never seen any flaw. I thought the boy was, he treated my mum and dad with so much respect and love, and I was a wee fish club. I was coming from Morton. I wasn't like a big player. I was just, but I just the club, the players, as you said, boys like Lee McCullough. Just, and you go to clubs like Rangers and you think to yourself, well, you're just a player. When you're at Motherwell or when you're at clubs where you do really well, know that I say I'm done really well. I'm talking about boys like Jig. People idolise you. People, I mean, I still get messages now where people are saying, listen, if you want to tell you, you'd be invited to my wedding. I've put you as, like, they've got 10 tables. I've put my 10 favourite football players and you were one of them. So I've got a table with Kevin Twott. You think, it's really touching that people would. And I've been here as a supporter, so I know what it's like. I was a painter for 5-6 years. I know what it's like to play football. I know how privileged, and because I had to do things before I played football to make me realise how lucky I was. But you get swept away in that football life and you just become a different person altogether. But as for Motherwell, no, as I said, I talked to my bairn. That's where I talk about Motherwell. I was lucky enough to have great times at St Johnstone, with Morton, with Raith, clubs I had so much time for, and I done pretty well at these clubs. I was thinking I've got a lot of nice people, say a lot of nice things, but Motherwell, massively close to my heart, like really, really touchingly close to my heart. Loved the people. And then when you hear about all these people who have left us now, Bob died, just the people that are not at the club, Ken, Betty died. I mean, I was devastated when Betty died. I mean, I'd left the club for years. She was just a special woman. I think you're well remembered when you're at a club. And I'm lucky I get to speak to you all the time, and we carry on and have a laugh and a joke. And all my mates laugh and joke as well. I sit and laugh and joke with my pool team. My boys are playing the pool team. When we go out and that, whatever, that's what I'm always sitting people doing with bits of paper, being stupid, obviously, and saying it. I said, what happened? Andy Gorham rolled the ball to Steve McMillan. Steve McMillan took about 5-6 yards. He's rolled it through, put it between two defenders. I'm through in goals and still in Petrov's chasing me, top bin. And it's a laugh, but you know what? Something I'll never, ever forget. Never. And celebrating with Jig. It was nice seeing that picture. Somebody put a picture up the other day with me and Jig celebrating around the corner. Was you're amongst about 90 Motherwell fans or something. Just things that I'll never, ever forget. And I'm very grateful, and I feel humbled to have had the opportunities, and 30 have done it.
Yeah, absolutely. Watching that back, it was a great season. Actually, the team are so close to finishing in a European place.
Yep.
That's what I'll finish on, because I guess it's not something I've mentioned. The fact that if the season is to be ended, then Motherwell will finish the season in third place. And there's no getting away from how big an achievement that is, and how the club continue to I hate the phrase punch above their weight, but yep. The thing is, Motherwell don't have a budget that's anywhere near in comparison to the likes of Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, and many others in the league. I think you're possibly talking the bottom 3-4 budgets in the league. But Motherwell, it doesn't come as a massive surprise to many when Motherwell are contesting at the top end. And another season with the supporters being able to look forward to perhaps a European jaunt, if we're allowed to go, is a remarkable thing.
It is, and it's funny because, you know what, at the start, the manager, Robinson, was getting a wee bit abused, to be fair, as well. And, you know what, didn't get it wrong, Motherwell love it as well. They've got all the Motherwell boys here, Stevie Hamill's and the kids. You've got Lasser still obviously taking the boys as well. Stevie Craigan was in doing parts with the younger kids and that as well. They've done well. They've kept all the boys and I've kept all the boys who have done well at the club, and they're at the club and know how much it means to be at the club. And Motherwell have done absolutely amazing this year. Absolutely amazing. For to be third, and no disrespect to your Celtic and Rangers, and even at times, I mean, they've played Celtic Rangers and done really well against them as well. And as you said, you didn't like that phrase about punching above their weight, but to be doing as well, and playing the football they're playing as well, and producing some of the boys are producing as well. There's a lot of boys moved on as well that have scored goals, have done really well, moved on, and they seem to be a club that's doing things properly. Alan Burrows has to be a massive part of that. He's done absolutely brilliant at the club. He's gave the club a bit of stability as regards a club, as regards financially. He's done absolutely wonderful at the club. And him and Emma, I mean, it's Alan's a kit man, Emma's his daughter, Alan Burrows is married to his. It's just, aye, Kimmel, it's all came together and they've got the right people at the club that they want right now. And listen, if they need another kind of boy there for like be social convener or for just for to be inspirational chatting, I'm there any time. If they need me for a job, I can quit my painting role and I could come in. So, but no, it's listen, it's fantastic. The club's doing brilliant and I'm delighted that they're doing well. Lass is one of the loveliest guys in the world. And he deserves all the goodness that he's getting as well at the club. So well done to them.
Yeah, spot on. And what I'll do is I'll cut this up and make it a kind of audio CV. We'll get it sent to the football club and we'll see if we can get you a job, all right?
That would be fantastic.
we maybe need to work on the title. I don't think social convener is going to really do
that. To be fair, I think that was probably, I mean, apart from having a season ticket at that Hamilton Palace, that's probably my greatest thing. We was one scoring at Parkhead and winning 1-0, but I've had a few good nights out, to be fair, in all one of them. But anyway, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and I must say that this has been a real pleasure for me tonight. As I say, I didn't think it would be a reflection on your time at Motherwell. And we've covered quite a lot, from the madness of Scottish football to just life in general, and then finishing up in a positive note. Kev, your story is an inspirational one. You're always great value in this, and I thank you very much. Just in general for being a top guy. Thank you.
And listen, well done you as well for obviously putting these things together and trying to raise a bit of awareness. You know what, it takes a lot of courage to do it as well. So well done you, pal. It's a great thing that you're doing. And you know what, if you can help one person with a wee bit of your goodness that you're doing, fantastic, pal.
Yeah, fingers crossed we can. And yep. We will be back tomorrow. We've got another couple of guests, Keith Lasley and John Sutton, are coming on tomorrow. And we'll go right across until a week on Sunday. So looking forward to them all. But for now, Kevin, thank you very much.
No probs at all. Thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.
History's been leaning on me lately. I can feel the future breathing down my neck. And all the things I thought were true when I was young and you were too turned out to be broken. And I don't know what comes next. In a world that has decided that it's going to lose its mind, be more kind, my friends, try to be more kind. They've started raising walls around the world now, like hackles raised upon a cornered cat. On the borders in our heads, between the things that can and can't be said, we stop talking to each other. There's something wrong with that. So before you go out searching, don't decide what you will find. Be more kind, my friends, try to be more kind. You should know you're not alone. The trouble comes and trouble. This ends. wind blew both of us to sand and sea. And where the dry line stands is hard to say. As the current drags us by the shore, we can no longer say for sure who's drowning or if they can be saved. When you're out there floundering like a lighthouse, I will shine. Be more kind, my friend. Try to be more kind. Like a beacon reaching out to you and yours, from me and mine. Be more kind, my friend. Try to be more kind. In a world that has decided that it's going to lose its mind, be more kind, my friend. Try to be more kind.